The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. John E. Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money, managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you create better financial habits, envision your long-term goals, and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of John E. Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are Stephen Luke and Cameron Utley, Certified Financial Planners. I'm glad to see you guys. Cameron, you're in for your second round, trial by fire.
I know. Hopefully a little better this time than last time.
You were a rock star last time. You're going to do great. So this is a great conversation to have. I'm looking forward to learning a lot about it. Stephen, you have a reputation for being kind of an expert at this one. So
I'm notorious.
I'm looking forward to it.
Resident expert.
Today we're talking about charitable giving and philanthropy. And to me, as in every person, this is an interesting subject. In fact, when I started working here, I was fascinated to hear and learn about all the vehicles that you use for charitable giving. And charitable giving is such an emotional, spiritual thing for some people. To have it be incorporated in financial planning was interesting to me. And I wondered, as CFPs, is that a conversation that is, you know, offered up to you, or is that something, you know, that is brought up as a, I guess maybe it's both, but how do you start the conversation with people when it comes to charitable giving and philanthropy?
Well, one of the first things of financial planning is to establish the goals. So in this case, for charitable giving, what are the charitable goals? And that's really the foundation of most conversations or discussions is, all right, what are your goals? And how does charity play into it? Some different degrees than others or our focuses. But it is the foundation of financial planning is to set the goals. So if you had that conversation, if charity is a part of it, let's talk about it and see what's the best way to go about giving to charity within your financial plan.
Some people think about giving back. They maybe start with their church, or they might have a favorite charity that they volunteer annually. So this is kind of out of the box, really. And there are, from what I've read, are lots of vehicles, and we don't have to go into those now. But I'm not going to probe that. But how do people make sure that the charity that they pick, that the money goes to that charity? Is there a right or wrong way to do this? Or a starting point, I guess, is the better question.
I think at the most foundational level is if you're connected with that charity, whether it's your church or an animal shelter or food pantry, you name it. Most places have websites anymore, right? Very basic concept, or a physical location, phone number. You can call them. Most charities offer a lot of different ways, as we might also get into some maybe more atypical ways of giving, not necessarily just out of your bank account or a credit card, but maybe even out of an investment account.
Yeah, a good resource is, as Cameron said, like you might have one you've been giving, a charity you've been giving to annually every year, such as a church or so forth. But if it's a newer charity or somebody you're not familiar with, there's a great website called Charity Navigator. Mm-hmm. And you can basically search for that charity. A good charity, it'll be, first of all, if it's a legitimate charity, it'll be a 501c3 organization. 501c3 is the tax code.
Okay.
So that's what is used, just like a 401k. It's the tax code.
And that's the first check mark you should look for.
Correct, because then it's a legitimate tax deduction for charitable giving if that applies to your taxes. But it's a legitimate charitable organization. And then Charity Navigator also gives you tips and tools on how to research the charity, because what most people don't realize, now we're going to go on a little tangent here, but most people don't realize is where does the money go? Once the money gets to their charity,
right,
where does it go? Does it line the pockets of the people running the charity, or does it go to the actual cause? And the charity has to report that. For every dollar that's given, X percentage goes to the cause, other percentage goes to overhead costs and so forth. And that's where you can really be enlightened on, I got to be very careful how I say this, but, you know, are they just basically running a business to pay people money versus going to charity? And that's why you have to do your research and find out where the money is going.
I can remember this is somewhat relevant, I think, to what you're talking about. When I was right out of college and working, the company, it was a Fortune 50 company that I was working for, they mandated company-wide that our wages be garnished X percent, I can't remember what it was, and it was going to a very large charity. And I can remember looking at my paycheck at the time and going, right. Well, first of all, that's a lot of money to go to a charity I don't know anything about. Secondly, I get to choose wherever I'm not, why are you telling me where to put my money? And,
right.
and so I opted out instinctively. And then I later found out that the charity was, that a lot of the money that people donated to this particular charity went to fund six-figure salaries. Back in the 80s,
exactly.
That was a lot of money for the executive director to be making.
Right.
So had I not had that instinct or people hadn't done their due diligence, you know, that's a lot of money when you're talking about a very large company. So do your research, right?
And that's where that Charity Navigator comes into play. And there's also a section on that website that talks about fraud and making sure that you're not getting frauded and giving money away. And that's
really
important, right? It is a good resource. So that's why I would direct people there, is it's a pretty transparent and looks for the big cause.
Now, if I can interrupt you, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's a catastrophe, you know, God forbid a hurricane, and Red Cross and FEMA are getting involved. You see all these offshoots of similar sounding, like on the TV and so forth, and you sit and go, maybe I'll donate to that. Well, should I donate to this one or donate to that one? So does the Charity Navigator also house those incidents?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it'll be a headline at that point. But again, look at the website. It's been a while since I've been on there, but they have a lot of good resources. And to your point, that you gotta be careful. I get the phone call quite a bit, and they tug at the heartstrings, mm-hmm. and firefighters and police, family, fallen police officers and so forth, which tugs at your heartstrings, mm-hmm. but you don't know how legitimate that charitable organization is. Is it mm-hmm. actually going to go to the family, or is it going to go fund? So you got to be very careful with that, and that's where Google and the research comes in.
And there's everything from books for children to animal charities to, you know, hospitals and so forth.
Yeah, the nice part about, and I was actually on there just the other day, you can actually not only just type in if you know the name of the charity, or maybe you type in a name of a charity that you know and you find out that maybe it's not ran as well as you thought it might be. Maybe you don't agree with everything. You want to find a similar charity for a similar cause, but a different organization. You can actually type in a cause, whether that's disaster relief for, I'm a dog person, so, you know, animal shelter. And you can compare, you know, they have hundreds of animal shelters, mm-hmm. thousands of animal shelters, mm-hmm. and you can compare them side by side and maybe find ones that are more local to you, and you can, you know, narrow down a search and find a cause that you can get behind and an organization you can get behind, mm-hmm. as well.
Is credit card a safe way to do that?
Sure, if it's mm-hmm. safe.
Is that probably the safest?
Well, yeah, it depends. Again, now we're getting into tax planning, and we can talk about the vehicles.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But when we talk about the goals, too, I think it's from a goal of charitable giving. What most people, maybe it's a missed opportunity to include the family, mm-hmm. make it a family discussion. If you have children, bring the children at the dinner table and say, we have X number of dollars to give to charity. How do we want to divide it up? Mm-hmm. Right. And maybe it does go to mm-hmm. the dogs, right? The kids are engaged with that, or the animal shelters or whatever it might be. But it's a great learning experience and a family event, actually, from a goal perspective.
Yeah. That's a good point, because I think the biggest thing, and hopefully the biggest takeaway that we have from this discussion today, is the tax strategies or the giving strategy shouldn't be the intent of why we give. We should be giving because we want to support something that we can get behind, mm-hmm. or something that we think betters our community, mm-hmm. not because of maybe some tax strategy that we can implement.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of a secondary or tertiary benefit that we can make more efficient.
Those are probably pretty connecting conversations that you have with clients, I would imagine.
Sure, and that's the heart.
It's pretty emotional.
Just this morning, I was talking to a client, and we're trying to balance between giving to charity And the comment that was brought up, and I forget how many years it goes back, but somebody once said, like, oh, someone who dies wealthy has failed, meaning he didn't give enough away to for charitable cause. And I said there's a balance between shepherding your money and your wealth. You can give it away when you die, too. You don't have to, it doesn't have to pass all past the family. You can give it to charity as well. But there's that balance, and there's the other term we say, give with a warm hand versus a cold hand. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the balance of having a financial plan and your goals. And it's not easy because you have to take care of yourself first. Right. That's important, too, is to have money available to take care of you through your life. And then how much to fulfill your charitable goals or family goals and heirs and so forth.
It's it can balance. Be a lot of fun.
It can be. Yeah.
It can be a lot of fun. And it's not always about the monetary aspect, although the monetary supports the physical aspect if you're getting involved in volunteering your time, even, you know, or you're working with a homeless shelter and you're in the midst of buying products for homeless people that are mm-hmm. living on the streets. It's definitely hit your pocketbook, but it can be really gratifying.
And we'll talk about it. I know we'll talk about a bunch of different ways we can give and maybe some strategies behind that. But we tell plenty of clients as well that money isn't the only way to give. Maybe if the dollars and cents don't make sense to give, because we're using enough of it to cover our current needs and expenses, but we have the heart to give. To your
or
point,
time.
You can put time in.
Yep.
You can take the family. When you make it a family affair, you can take the family down to the soup kitchen or to, you know, volunteer at an afternoon event or something.
So that's a huge win in so many ways.
Yeah.
I mean, we could go on and on about that one just from the perspective of gratitude. And that's why this topic is, it's financial planning, but there's so much emotion and spirituality connected to it. And individual choice, right? Everybody is not the same.
And that's what we mean by the goals, right? It's a personal preference, and the goals is the term.
Yeah.
But it's what do you want? What do you want to give? And that's a part of it. So,
is there a formula that you guys use with clients to determine how much they give? Or is it just based on living expenses?
No, it's just based on personal preference. Yeah. And it could be too much.
A lot of people have maybe their own inherent rules, whether that's a percentage of income or a dollar amount per paycheck, that they get into a routine, or maybe it's just an end of the year, you know, here's what I feel is generous, here's something I want to give to at the end of the year or whenever. But I can't think of any rules.
No, I don't really like when people say there's rules, there's no rules.
Yeah.
You can give it all away and die broke, right? That's very risky. The other side of it, like I said, you could also shepherd the money and then at your passing, give it all one big lump sum for something ginormous, right? Mm-hmm. You don't know. It just depends what you prefer.
Right. Let's talk about the tax implication. I know of situations where people gift money. I've been the fortunate receiver of that over the course of my life. Is that a tax event when someone gives a chunk of money up to a point, or?
This is the fun part. Go ahead, Cameron. You can start.
Yeah,
with taxes.
So, we'll differentiate. Is it money being given to a charity or to a person? Because there's different rules pertaining to that.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I did muddy the waters on that one. I'm thinking people, but. Mm-hmm.
So for people, there is a dollar limit that changes every year. Usually north of $10,000 or $15,000 a year.
And my name is STEPHEN.
Yeah.
So you give me your
checks
money.
Checks cash if you misspell it, though, right?
but if you've got a relative that's maybe down in their luck, you know, and you've got a little bit extra, what's the magic number?
This year it's 18,000.
Yeah.
Tax-free.
Yeah, you can give every individual
They don't have to pay taxes either on
no.
it?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. That's nice.
And the interesting part about it is if you're married, then you can give what they call a split gift, and you can each give, you know, you and your husband can give a joint gift of this year $36,000 to one individual.
Yeah. Wow. So every individual can give any other individual $18,000 this year.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Tax-free right upon receipt and giving. But if we're talking charitable giving, that's when the tax game comes into play, and it's fun because it's hard for people to understand it. But if you understand the tax law, it's incredibly creative and fun. That's what I love about financial planning is avoiding tax avoidance. The government encourages charitable giving, and there are tax rules in play to reduce your taxation to give to charity. So you can become very You can give more to charity and pay less in taxes. Who wouldn't want that if you're giving money to charity anyway?
Give me an example.
So the example would be is if you had a goal to give $10,000 to charity, if you had an appreciated investment, you could gift that full appreciated investment and avoid the taxation on the appreciation.
Appreciated investment, meaning?
Stock, mutual fund, anything, right? Mm-hmm. So some people, the cars, right? You can donate a car, but that's not an appreciated investment. But let's say you invested in a company stock. The company stock went from $5,000 to $10,000. If you sold it, you have to pay capital gains tax on the $5,000. All of a sudden, you have a tax bill. But if you gave that full $10,000 to charity, you get the tax deduction of that $10,000, and you avoid that tax on the $5,000. It's a double whammy in your favor.
Two gifts.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So
does that take your taxable income down? Is that what that does?
Or then it goes into other areas because it's based on if you're itemizing deductions or taking the standard deduction. There's so many different layers of it, but that's where if you have a good financial plan and understand tax code, that's when it can become your favor because you might be able to group in 3 or 4 years worth of charitable giving, get a huge tax deduction in 2024, have the money available for the next 5 years already for charity. You don't have to give it right away. Again, it's so complex, but there are ways to go about it in a tax efficient manner.
Yeah, it's advantageous because you get to save upwards of 20%. On your tax bill, and at the end of the day, the charity's probably getting more money in their bank account or in their investment account, which they can sell, not pay taxes on because they're a nonprofit. And so you walk away with a bigger tax deduction, and they walk away with more money in the end versus if you were just to give cash.
And does that apply? And maybe my layperson brain is not absorbing the planner speak.
I want to keep it as simple as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
So if I'm in retirement and I'm taking distributions off of my IRA,
okay,
and I want to take a portion of that, I can turn that over to a charity.
You can pay it directly to the charity. So if you are in the required minimum distribution years, age 73 or greater, the IRS rule says you can take a portion of that RMD or all of it, give it directly to charity, and it does not get reported on your tax return. Home run. Because what happened was in 2018 is they changed the rules for itemized deductions. Again, now we're going into tax planning, but the rules for itemized deductions changed so dramatically, it really impacted charitable giving. And the charities were like, hey, wait a second, you're really messing with people's minds here, and they're not getting as big of a tax advantage as they did the prior tax code. So they came up with strategies such as that, where you can give directly to the charity. The other tool that came out was a donor advised fund, which the way you look at a donor advised fund, it's a bank account. Okay, it's your bank account that must be given to charity. And how you fund it is through your investments or your assets. You can give cash into it, deposit into it. You can invest money once it's in there.
So it's a vessel that is from, so it goes from me to my IRA, my traditional IRA maybe, to the donor advised
fund.
What
correct.
About a Roth when you've already paid taxes going into it? How does that work?
Well, that wouldn't be it wouldn't be a tax advantage tool to give a Roth IRA to charity.
It's just a gift.
That would just be a straight gift.
Okay.
Right. So the donor advised fund is a charitable account that will live in eternity, because even when you die, the money has to go to charity. Once it's in that account, it must be delivered to a charity at some point in time. Your kids may end up giving it away, or your family may end up giving it away to close the account. But the nice part about it is you can fund it, lump sum fund it early, like a 529 account. You could fund it at the child's birth. So you can fund this charitable account right away and have it last for 10, 15, 20 years.
What's the advantage of doing that when your child's born?
Well, that's a separate conversation, but you can pre-fund it. You can accelerate the funding.
We have a lot of people, again, maybe they have, look for an employer who has a company stock, mm-hmm. and maybe they don't need the money for their cash flow, or they're in a habit of giving already, and there might be at one point just a big taxable event. And they may decide, okay, instead of just paying the taxes and getting the money in my bank account, maybe I just front load, you know, 2, 3, 5, 10 years worth of charitable giving, and then just sort of reorient how you give at that point.
I see. That's really a great strategy, isn't it?
Which is like your IRA. You have an IRA. You're building it for 20, 30, 40 years, and then you have a big, large sum of money. Same thing you could do with a donor advised fund account.
You open it in your name, like
yes.
for your social?
Or your spouse. Yeah.
Where do you go to open one of those?
There's just the donor advised fund, and then you can any banks, whoever qualify to have them, would
so you start with
be
the
able
bank.
To have them. Yeah, well, just donor advised fund.
Oh,
start with there.
Literally.
Well, then what companies do it?
Yeah.
There are different companies out there
that provide
them.
All the big investment managers have different versions. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So anybody can do
yeah,
it,
just
on,
look
do
at
it
what
on
the
own.
Costs are and the fees are and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Do the fees parallel a different investment tool, like another investment tool, or are they do they stand out in any way?
Well, there might be minimums on how much you need to go in there, 5,000, 10, I don't know. There might be minimums. There might be admin fees. It varies. That's, again, mm-hmm. you have to educate yourself on what you're getting into.
And they're all different.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about legacy planning. So how would you go about, if I wanted to create a donation to my favorite charity or cause posthumously, how do you go about doing that while you're still around? I want to take an X amount of money and donate it to the Humane Society, for instance.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of different ways. I think if there's, you know, it depends on what you have at your disposal at that point. If it's maybe just 1 or 6 months worth of what you consider your annual gift, maybe you do just give cash, or you do just give appreciated stock out of an investment account or an IRA. To our point earlier, if it's maybe a couple years worth of giving that you want to, you know, just set up and deposit a big lump sum and then just have automatic gifts come out of that account, maybe a donor advised fund does make more sense.
How you would do it is through your estate plan.
Yeah,
right. You can do it through a trust. You can do it. You can have a direct, you mentioned IRAs earlier. You can assign a charity as beneficiary on your IRA.
Okay.
Right. And then they would get the money. Again, there's so many different, that's why you need an advisor, might need an advisor to guide you through it, a financial planner, an accountant, an attorney, possibly an estate attorney to help fulfill your goals. That's why it starts with the goals. What do you want to do? And then how much do we want to give? And then what's the most efficient way to do it? But it would be through your estate plan. And the other thing too is a lot of within estate plans, what I've seen over the years is people, a couple mistakes they make, or it's not a mistake, but probably something they should have reconsidered is they estated dollar amounts. Okay. 20 years ago, if you said leave $1,000 to charity, a specific charity, wow, that's a good sum of money. Today, not as much as $10,000, but $10,000 might not be much 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. So stated dollar amounts often, I think, are a mistake versus a percentage. Take 5% of my wealth and earmark it, put it into my donor advised fund. Some find a way to do it, but do percentage-based, then it becomes a more, it keeps up with inflation and so forth, and based on your wealth. The other thing, too, is naming specific charities. Very risky. The popular one that really, in more recent time, was the Livestrong Foundation. Extremely popular, and then all of a sudden, it became soured, right? For whatever reason, right or wrong, that's irrelevant, but it became soured, and there's nothing to say other charities won't go through that same turmoil or that same experience or path. Mm-hmm. So be careful with naming specific charities in your estate plan because it may not be the same later on in your life.
That's a great point. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Really?
And that's where the donor advised fund is beneficial because it's an account and then the money can get distributed from that account by even your heirs.
Mm-hmm. And that's how you can kind of maximize the impact of your intention when you're not around.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Is there anything I've missed that comes to mind based on your experience? I mean, you talked about the professionals. I'm guessing the team starts with certified financial planner, attorney, CPA.
CPA, for tax planning.
It's all extremely, can be a very complex process, especially when you do start to have maybe charities or different vehicles listed in your estate plan. So would never recommend doing it yourself. There's the power of the team. You need at least one, probably if not two, of those three professionals in your corner. And most importantly, be communicative, talking with each other, making sure everyone's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at the end of the day, the most important thing is your goal is being executed.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And there's no cookie cutter approach. That's that's why we're going into the earlier tax planning. There are so many ways you can break it apart. And so every specific financial plan would have a specific strategy based on their situation, whether it's whatever their charity is, what assets you have. So that's why the team is important. But the most important thing is for you to have your goals. What are your goals? How much do you want to give? Who do you want to give it to? And how and when do you want to give it to them? Those are important pieces to maybe have that discussion with the family.
Great. That's always a good start, is talking to your family about what you want.
Yep.
Putting it in writing.
That's what's a dinner table discussion.
Yeah. Right? We didn't really go into that. We just did a show about that. But, you know, assemble your thoughts with your people and let them know what your intentions are.
Yeah. There's other complex things for the, I use the word higher net worth people, charitable trusts, right, where it's specific for charity, where you can gift money now. Have it sit in this charitable trust, you could actually receive income off of it, live off of it, and then whatever is left over at the end goes to the charity. It could go the other way. While you're alive, the money goes to charity, and then when you die, it goes to your heirs. So these charitable trusts, again, there's a lot of different flavors out there, but those are tools that for the high net worth people that are very valuable to them as well.
Are there any others that come to mind that you think are relevant for people to learn more about?
I mean, it all is all very particular to your circumstance and your goals and really your financial situation. To Stephen's point, when maybe the net worth is starting to eclipse, you know, very high thresholds, then different strategies come in because you want to make sure that maybe more complex goals are being carried out, right? So just having those experts in your corner that can assess your financial circumstance is extremely important.
If you're in a situation where your wealth is so high that you would could encounter estate tax, which is a very heavy tax, the way I explain it is when you die, your money can go to three places, your heirs, government, or charity, and you can pick two out of three. What would you pick? It's pretty easy, right?
Right.
I think most
people
would say, all right, heirs and charity.
Right.
So that's where a good charitable giving plan would be a part of it as far as legacy planning.
Interesting. Yep. Well, this has been enlightening. Assemble the team. That's the bottom line. Assemble your team.
And goals.
And
your goals, yeah.
And recognize it's an emotional decision. It's an emotional conversation that you have to have with your loved ones. Do your research. Consult the specialists. We're happy to help out with a complimentary consultation. We're glad you stopped in. We thank Stephen and Cameron for joining us. We hope you'll come back. We are Managing to Be Wealthy.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Managing to Be Wealthy podcast. We help you make the most of your money without any hidden fees or commissions. Remember, the best investment you can make is in yourself and your financial future. Keep listening for more expert advice and tips. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. To schedule a 1-hour complimentary consultation to discuss your financial concerns, visit our website, managingtobewealthy.com.